Good morning. This is Les Harms on behalf of the Adams County Historical Society, welcoming you again to another segment of Adams County History. On a prior broadcast, we talked about part one of the history and the fascinating story of the Rivoli Theater, of how it got started in March of 1927 on the dream of a young man by the name of Homer Garvin, and of the history of vaudeville, the silent pictures, the theater organ, so much fascinating history on the Rivoli Theater. Well, to continue, as the Depression of the 1930s deepened, well, people were beginning to come back to the theater simply because there was no money available. Generally, they could scrape together a ticket so they could escape from their worries. So during the 30s and the 40s, the Rivoli organ concerts before the feature pictures were very popular. People enjoyed hearing a brief organ concert before the pictures. One of the organists was a multi-talented Joe Alleyne, whose dance students often performed on the Rivoli stage through the early 1950s. But you see, Hollywood was entering the golden era, and the film quality was greatly improved. We had Greta Garbo, we had Clark Gable, the Barrymores were all gracing the Rivoli screen. At Christmas time in 1937, the Waldock and Brock department store sponsored a free theater party for youngsters, with Santa handing out goodies at the store after the movies. So many youngsters showed up that a near riot occurred. Santa was nearly trampled. In 1939, the Rivoli was remodeled. One of the improvements was a new air conditioning system, because remember, folks, air conditioning was still relatively new, practically unheard of in private homes. In the late 1930s, a manager arrived who would leave a strong imprint on the history of movie theaters. In his name, James Jimmy Pickett, had great interest, he had great enthusiasm for the motion picture and theater business, and he was a natural promoter. He had worked in a Hastings bank. He had become a part-time doorman. He was a handyman at the Rivoli when the banks closed it. For a short time, Jimmy Pickett and his wife, Ann, moved to Grand Island, but they returned later in the 30s when Jimmy became city manager of the Rivoli and the Strand Theaters. Pickett had learned a great deal from Garvin, and movie and theater promotions appeared all over town. Newspaper ads, radio spots, handbills, posters in stores and gimmicks. There was even a mysterious black roadster that appeared on Hastings streets, driven by a hooded driver. Now, who was that sinister driver? You had to come to the movies to find out. There were men in gorilla suits, caged in the back of a flatbed truck. They were riding up and down 2nd Street. Who were those people? Were they like King Kong? The front of the Rivoli was covered with vines, caused patrons to walk through dangerous jungle in order to get to the box office for a ticket for a jungle film. From the opening of the Rivoli until 1940, concessions were not sold in the theater, and so that was a new promotion to come about. And during the 1930s, there was a combination newsstand and a malt shop just first east of the Rivoli that was run by Jake Rust. And so had the chance there to get something to eat. The World War II years found the Hastings theaters filled with patrons from noon until midnight, 7 days a week. Think of it, people. Theater filled from noon till midnight with lines of people waiting to get in. Jimmy Pickett bought consignments of corn from farmers near Central City, Nebraska, before the corn had ever left the field. A huge bin was built in the Rivoli basement, and corn was put in, 1,000 pounds at a time. Because, you see, candy was never available during the war years. There were scrap metal drives, Hastings kids using coaster wagons and old wicker baby buggies, brought in 2 tons of metal before one morning show in 1942. The admission, 10 pounds per youngster. 1943 saw the 70-foot stage full of dancing girls in Hawaiian costumes from the Aline School of Dance, promoting the Song of the Islands, starring Betty Grable. All types of promotions were used to great success. Sometimes there were special free Christmas movies, sneak previews, midnight shows. The advertisements for Halloween shows always featured an eerie-sounding organ playing macabre music or sounds of stage entertainment. You had to go to the Strand Theater for weekly cowboy movies and Saturday theaters. After the war, the Rivoli was repainted and new type, recliner-type seats were installed on the main floor. The post-war economy was strong. There was a change of movies every Thursday and Sunday. And now, movies were continuously shown 7 days a week. Business was excellent. Hastings theaters were considered safe places. And Hastings parents often left their children there while they were shopping. Around 1950, the Erling Furniture Store across the street began displaying television sets. And Amos and Andy in the 1930s had emptied the Rivoli Theater. And without the coming of television in the 1950s started to diminish the theater business. Patronage at the Hastings Theaters was never the same again. For several summers, a beauty pageant called Little Miss Hastings, featuring little girls, was held on the Rivoli stage. From 1945 until 55, a Rivoli Easter tradition was to give away live chickens whose feathers had been tinted pastel colors to every child that would attend the Saturday morning cartoon show. However, I'm sure many of those little chicks never made it home alive. Well, continuing on, we're now into that time. But during the mid-1950s, Channel 13 in Holdridge opened the Hastings area's first television station, and patronage at the theaters dropped dramatically. Lucille Ball, I Love Lucy, kept everybody home on Monday nights. Ironically, in 1956, that Lucy Desi movie called The Long, Long Trailer came to town, and the Rivoli was solidly packed for that movie. Fred Keller, a young man from Columbus, Nebraska, had come to Hastings and was managing some of the other theaters. He had been very successful with the Strand and the drive-in theaters and wanted the challenge of reviving the Rivoli. He and his partners acquired the Rivoli Theater in 1967, but they had to buy the whole block. But they leased part of it back to Merle Anderson. Fred Keller believes, we'll revert back to the question then, but what happened to the theater organ? Well, I researched that. The only thing I could find was Fred Keller believed that the corporation sold the organ in the late 60s to an out-of-state organ restorer. However, another source maintains the restorer never came to get the pipe organ and that it's stored somewhere outside of Hastings in a barn. So the mystery remains. For the next 17 years, all three Hastings theaters were successfully managed by Fred Keller. In the early 1960s, the continuous showing of movies from 12 noon until midnight was ended, and eventually only the evening shows were offered. In 1984, the Tellers wanted to retire from the theater business, and so the Rivoli was leased to Tom Lovitz, a Hastings developer. The Tellers, who had been in the business for 32 years, planned a closing party, so they offered a free movie, popcorn, and pop. They expected a small crowd, but to their delight, Hastings responded in the old tradition. The theater was full, and people stopped to shake many hands. Well, history continued. A nonprofit group called Rivoli Performing Arts was formed to talk about what could be done for the Rivoli. It was talk of possibly making a performing arts center. Part of that, in 1985, the Tribune announced a gala live music night called Putting on the Ritz in 1985, and Hastings responded very, very well to that. Putting on the Ritz was a great success on October 1st of 1985. 800 people attended the production that included performances by the Center Stage of Omaha, the Hastings Civic Symphony, the Hastings Community Theater, the Sweet Adelines, Chorus of the Plains. Garvin was still around. He was delighted. He was especially pleased to know that his natural acoustics did the job. Don Goodrich of the Hastings Civic Symphony later said of the acoustics, "They're about as good as it gets on this side of heaven." Well, the theater progressed to a series of different owners, closed for a while, and now has reopened as a theater showing movies again. The Rivoli is back in business. What a fascinating history for this building. What if those walls could talk? Could they not tell a fascinating history? I'm sure they could. This Moment in Time has been a presentation of the Adams County Historical Society. We invite you to listen, to learn, and to please consider joining our society so that we might preserve the history of our county. You can also visit the website at adamshistory.org. And so, once again, this is Les Harms inviting you. Tune in on the second and the fourth Friday of each month. Thank you for listening.